Content of this program is intended for people who are blind or print impaired. Hello and welcome to Reflections Day by Day, a program from the North Carolina Reading Service. I'm George Douglas. For the next half hour, I will be reading from the appointed daily scriptures and a brief commentary from the publication Forward Day by Day, a daily devotional for disciples. This booklet is intended for any Christian or non-denominational reader and is affiliated with the Episcopal Church, USA. Our readings on this program cover the week of Monday, September 1st through Sunday, September 7th, 2025. The commentary for September was written by Emma Rosero Nordholm. She was born in Tumaco, Colombia, and retired from Boston University, where she trained students in methods of teaching Spanish as a second language. As a deacon, she has served especially the Latino community, empowering women, creating training and mentorship programs, and focusing on social and racial justice. The commentary for Monday, September 1st, begins as follows with a passage from the book of James, chapter 2, verse 1. My brothers and sisters, do you, with your acts of favoritism, really believe in our glorious Lord Jesus Christ? Here's the commentary. My brothers and sisters, do you, with your acts of favoritism, really believe in our glorious Lord Jesus Christ? This is a simple and profound invitation to live as true Christians. When the author calls us his brothers and sisters, our hearts rejoice and we feel like family. By inviting us to be one in our faith, which we affirm in God the Father Almighty, the Spirit of divine love takes hold of our being. We feel the gentle impulse to set out on the journey with Christ. With open arms and a soul full of joy and enthusiasm, we offer others, without distinction, the same invitation that transforms our lives forever. How I wish these words would appear in parish bulletins when we invite people from other cultures to live together under the same roof. And now I'm going to read this full passage for this day from the letter to James, chapter 2, verses 1 through 13. My brothers and sisters, do you, with your acts of favoritism, really believe in our Lord Jesus Christ? For if a person with gold rings and in fine clothes comes into your assembly, and if a poor person in dirty clothes also comes in, and if you take notice of the one wearing the fine clothes and say, "Have a seat here, please," while to the one who is poor you say, "Stand there," or "Sit at my feet," have you not made distinctions among yourselves and become judges with evil thoughts? Listen, my beloved brothers and sisters, has not God chosen the poor in the world to be rich in faith and to be heirs of the kingdom that he has promised to those who love him? But you have dishonored the poor. Is it not the rich who oppress you? Is it not they who drag you into court? Is it not they who blaspheme the excellent name that was invoked over you? You do well if you really fulfill the royal law according to the scripture. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. But if you show partiality, you commit sin and are convicted by the law as transgressors. For whoever keeps the whole law but fails in one point has become accountable for all of it. For the one who said, "You shall not commit adultery," also said, "You shall not murder." Now, if you do not commit adultery, but if you murder, you have become a transgressor of the law. So speak and so act as those who are to be judged by the law of liberty. For judgment will be without mercy to anyone who has shown no mercy. Mercy triumphs over judgment. And the moving forward question for this Monday, September 1st, is do you attend a parish that has invited people from another culture to be part of your spiritual home? How has that experience been? The commentary for Tuesday, September 2nd, begins with a passage from the Old Testament, 1 Kings chapter 9, verse 3. The Lord said to him, I have heard your prayer and your plea, which you have made before me. I have consecrated this house that you have built, and put my name there forever. My eyes and my heart will be there for all time. This reading from the first book of Kings encourages us to have full faith that God hears our fervent pleas and promises to remain in us, protecting us from evil. This occurs when we act with integrity and righteousness of heart in what God wants us to do, and when we obey the commandments. In my pastoral visits to the homes of people afflicted by pain, suffering, or loss, I always invite them to pray with the Psalms. After praying together, their tears of gratitude toward God affirm my own faith, helping me to trust fully in the presence of God's love. God looks at us with kindness and compassion and grants us strength and protection at every step of our lives. And now I'm going to read this full passage for today from 1 Kings chapter 8, verse 65 through chapter 9, verse 9. So Solomon held the festival at that time, and all Israel with him, a great assembly, people from Lebo Hamath to the Wadi of Egypt, before the Lord our God, 7 days. On the 8th day, he sent the people away, and they blessed the king, and went to their tents, joyful and in good spirits, because of all the goodness that the Lord had shown to his servant David and to his people Israel. When Solomon had finished building the house of the Lord, and the king's house, and all that Solomon desired to build, the Lord appeared to Solomon a second time, as he had appeared to him at Gibeon. The Lord said to him, I have heard your prayer and your plea, which you made before me. I have consecrated this house that you have built, and put my name there forever. My eyes and my heart will be there for all time. As for you, if you will walk before me as David your father walked, with integrity of heart and uprightness, doing according to all that I have commanded you, and keeping my statutes and my ordinances, then I will establish your royal throne over Israel forever, as I promised your father David, saying, There shall not fail you a successor on the throne of Israel. If you turn aside from following me, you or your children, and do not keep my commandments and my statutes that I have set before you, but go and serve other gods and worship them, then I will cut Israel off from the land that I have given them, and the house that I have consecrated for my name I will cast out of my sight, and Israel will become a proverb and a taunt among all peoples. This house will become a heap of ruins. Everyone passing by it will be astonished and will hiss, and they will say, Why has the Lord done such a thing to this land and to this house? Then they will say, Because they have forsaken the Lord their God, who brought their ancestors out of the land of Egypt and embraced other gods, worshiping them and serving them. Therefore, the Lord has brought this disaster upon them. And the moving forward suggestion for this Tuesday, share ways in which you have faithfully served the world with acts of love and humility. Now let's turn to the commentary for Wednesday, September 3rd. It begins with a passage of the book of James, chapter 3, verses 8 and 9. No one can tame the tongue. a restless evil full of deadly poison. With it we bless the Lord and Father, and with it we curse those who are made in the likeness of God. It is true what the letter of James says about human language. Words are often used to curse, inflicting significant harm on people, communities, and even an entire society. But the same tongue that offers deadly poison also utters blessings to God the Father. A most painful example of this occurs in the reading from Mark 15, verse 9. Pilate knew that the crowd would choose to release Barabbas and condemn Jesus. Their tongues had expressed resentment and rage. The exclamations of the priests had incited them to condemn him to death. In my work organizing Latino communities in the fight for racial justice, I hear opinions rooted in rejection of others in the group. I work with love and humility so that on their own everyone comes to understand the source of their prejudices and to bless others and their own realities. And now I'm going to read this full passage from the book of James, chapter 3, verses 1 through 12. Not many of you should become teachers, my brothers and sisters, for you know that we who teach will be judged with greater strictness. For all of us make many mistakes. Anyone who makes no mistakes in speaking is perfect, able to keep the whole body in check with a bridle. If we put bits into the mouths of horses to make them obey us, we guide their whole bodies. Or look at ships, though they are so large that it takes strong winds to drive them, yet they are guided by a very small rudder, wherever the will of the pilot directs. So also the tongue is a small member, yet it boasts of great exploits. How great a forest is set ablaze by a small fire, and the tongue is a fire. The tongue is placed among our members as the world of iniquity. It stains the whole body, sets on fire the cycle of nature, and is itself set on fire by hell. For every species of beast and bird, of reptile and sea creature, can be tamed and has been tamed by the human species. But no one can tame the tongue, a restless evil full of deadly poison. With it we bless the Lord and Father, and with it we curse those who are made in the likeness of God. From the same mouth come blessing and cursing. My brothers and sisters, this ought not to be so. Does a spring pour forth from the same opening both fresh and brackish water? Can a fig tree, my brothers and sisters, yield olives, or a grapevine figs? No more can salt water yield fresh. And the moving forward question for this day is, have you ever managed to get dissimilar groups to bless each other? The commentary for Thursday, September 4th, begins with a passage from the book of James, chapter 4, verse 11 and 12. Do not speak evil against one another, brothers and sisters. Whoever speaks evil against another or judges another speaks evil against the law and judges the law. But if you judge the law, you are not a doer of the law, but a judge. There is one lawgiver and judge who is able to save and to destroy. So who then are you to judge your neighbor? When I facilitate leadership workshops for Latino communities, we use what we call group agreements to avoid disrespecting one another. We agree not to judge one another, but to listen, accept disagreement, and be open to finding consensus in group decisions. In this way, conflicts and abuse of power are avoided. Dialogue circles allow everyone to be included and to share equally. We begin by praying to feel the presence of divine love that inspires us and our goals. That way, no one judges anyone. God blesses our decisions for the good and benefit of God's mission among us. And now I'm going to read from this book of James here, chapter 3, verse 13, through chapter 4, verse 12. Who is wise and understanding among you? Show by your good life that your works are done with gentleness, born of wisdom. But if you have bitter envy and selfish ambition in your hearts, do not be boastful and false to the truth. Such wisdom does not come down from above, but is earthly, unspiritual, devilish. For where there is envy and selfish ambition, there will also be disorder and wickedness of every kind. But the wisdom from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, willing to yield, full of mercy and good fruits, without a trace of partiality or hypocrisy. And a harvest of righteousness is sown in peace for those who make peace. Those conflicts and disputes among you, where do they come from? Do they not come from your cravings that are at war within you? You want something and do not have it, so you commit murder. And you covet something and cannot obtain it, so you engage in disputes and conflicts. You do not have because you do not ask. You ask and do not receive because you ask wrongly in order to spend what you get on your pleasures. Adulterers, do you not know that friendship with the world is enmity with God? Therefore, whoever wishes to be a friend of the world becomes an enemy of God. Or do you suppose that it is for nothing that the Scripture says, God yearns jealously for the Spirit that he has made to dwell in us, but he gives all the more grace? Therefore, it says, God opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Submit yourselves, therefore, to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. Lament and mourn and weep. Let your laughter be turned into mourning, and your joy into dejection. Humble yourselves before the Lord, and he will exalt you. Do not speak evil against one another, brothers and sisters. Whoever speaks evil against another or judges another speaks evil against the law and the judges of the law. But if you judge the law, you are not a doer of the law, but a judge. There is one lawgiver and judge who is able to save and to destroy. So who then are you to judge your neighbor? And the moving forward question for Thursday is, how do you treat people who are different from you? What type of group agreement might you embrace in conversations with others? The commentary for Friday, September 5th, begins with a passage from James chapter 4, verses 14 and 15. Yet you do not even know what tomorrow will bring. What is your life? For you are a mist that appears for a little while and then vanishes. Instead, you ought to say, if the Lord wishes, we will live and do this or that. During the pandemic, a great feeling of fear invaded me. Familiar voices reached my ears, whispering that our lives hang by a thread. For weeks, I locked myself in my fear, convinced that, as the letter of James says, we are mist that appears, vanishes, and disappears forever. Over time, almost without realizing, I discovered how to live without that anxious restlessness. I learned to spend hours in prayer and to watch nature through my windows. In that constant contemplation, I found a refuge of peace and gratitude. I put everything in God's hands. And eventually I went back out and continued to go out into the world, trusting in God's will for each one of us, God's beloved children. And now I'm going to read the commentary from James chapter 4, verse 13 through chapter 5, verse 6. Come now, you who say, today or tomorrow we will go to such and such a town and spend a year there doing business and making money. Yet you do not even know what tomorrow will bring. What is your life? For you are a mist that appears for a little while and then vanishes. Instead, you ought to say, if the Lord wishes, we will live and do this or that. As it is, you boast in your arrogance. All such boasting is evil. Anyone then who knows the right thing to do and fails to do it commits sin. Come now, you rich people, weep and wail for the miseries that are coming to you. Your riches have rotted, and your clothes are moth-eaten. Your gold and silver have rusted, and their rust will be evidence against you, and it will eat your flesh like fire. You have laid up treasure for the last days. Listen, the wages of the laborers who mowed your fields, which you kept back by fraud, cry out, and the cries of the harvesters have reached the ears of the Lord of hosts. You have lived on the earth in luxury and in pleasure. You have fattened your hearts in a day of slaughter. You have condemned and murdered the righteous one who does not resist you. And the moving forward question for Friday is, when you are feeling anxious, what words from Scripture help you turn over your fears to God? The commentary for Saturday, September 6th, begins with a passage from Psalm 42, verse 1 and 2. As the deer longs for the water brooks, so longs my soul for you, O God. My soul is athirst for God, athirst for the living God. When shall I come to appear before the presence of God? As the psalmist sings, let us imagine our soul ever thirsting, longing for the living God who embraces every fiber of our being with bonds of love. Let us imagine God, the eternal lover of our souls, delighted to be our tender companion. Let us embrace God as our companion on the journey, who takes us by the hand, promising never to abandon us in the face of uncertainty, pitfalls, or loss. Let us pray, God of love and goodness, until the day when I stand before your sacred presence, I will place all my trust, gratitude, and praise in you, my Savior. This prayer is an example of how God's Spirit inspires me to create guided meditations for spiritual retreats offered to Latino communities. And now I'm going to read from Psalm 42. As a deer longs for flowing streams, so my soul longs for you, O God. My soul thirsts for God, for the living God. When shall I come and behold the face of God? My tears have been my food, day and night. While people say to me continually, where is your God? These things I remember as I pour out my soul, how I went with the throng and led them in procession to the house of God, with glad shouts and songs of thanksgiving, a multitude keeping festival. Why are you cast down, O my soul? And why are you disquieted within me? Hope in God, for I shall again praise him, my help and my God. My soul is cast down within me. Therefore I remember you from the land of Jordan and of Hermon, from Mount Mizar. Deep calls to deep at the thunder of your cataracts. All your waves and your billows have gone over me. By day the Lord commands his steadfast love, and at night his song is with me, a prayer to the God of my life. I say to God, my rock, why have you forgotten me? Why must I walk about mournfully because the enemy oppresses me? As with a deadly wound in my body, my adversaries taunt me, while they say to me continually, where is your God? Why are you cast down, O my soul, and why are you disquieted within me? Hope in God, for I shall again praise him with my help and my God. And the moving forward suggestion, express in your own words or through a drawing what it means in your life to thirst and long for the living God. Now, as we near the end of this week and the end of the program, let's turn to the commentary for Sunday, September 7th. It is the 13th Sunday of Pentecost. It begins with a passage from Psalm 139, verses 1 through 4. Lord, you have searched me out and known me. You know my sitting down and my rising up. You discern my thoughts from afar. You trace my journeys and my resting places and are acquainted with all my ways. Indeed, there is not a word on my lips, but you, O Lord, know it altogether. You press upon me behind and before and lay your hand upon me. Sometimes in my workshops, I invite participants to reflect on verses from Psalm 139. These are some of the comments they have shared with me. We read verses from this psalm in a safe place, in silence. We give our full attention to every phrase, every image, every word. The reading became a prayer of worship, praise, gratitude, and humble acknowledgement to God. We thank our Father and Creator for the loving presence in us, around us, deep inside of us. It was a sacred and sublime experience and a joy that we can take to the world. Embraced in the divine presence, the rest of the workshop flows in constant delight. And the moving forward question for this Sunday, what other psalms or scripture passages describe God's presence in you? And that's all the time we have for today's episode of Reflections Day by Day. Let's close with a special prayer from Father Richard Rohr, founder of the Center for Action and Contemplation in Albuquerque, New Mexico. Creator God, O great love, thank you for living and loving in us and through us. May all that we do flow directly from our deep connection with you and other beings. Help us become a community that shares each other's burdens and the weight of glory. Listen to our heart's longings for the healing of our world. Knowing that you are hearing us much better than we are speaking, we offer this prayer in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, and in all the holy names of God. Amen. I'm George Douglas. Thank you so much for joining me today for Reflections Day by Day. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind or print impaired. Reflections Day by Day is a presentation of the North Carolina Reading Service and is available as a podcast at our website, ncreadingservice.org. Please join me for a new program of readings and commentary next week from Forward Day by Day, a publication of forwardmovement.org. Goodbye until next time.